Con Show with Anna DeBlantis. To Roper in today. One of the most decorated and respected former CIA clandestine operation officers in the history of the agency, Bob Baer, joins us right now on the Super Celebrity Hotline. Bob, thank you, as always, for your time. All right, a couple things. We need to talk. I mentioned this at the beginning of the show. There's a lot of stuff domestically, right? And there's a lot of theatrics and fireworks and our politics here. And our eye is a little off the ball about what's going on overseas. And the Iran situation seems to be heating up. And as a guy, obviously, Syriana, if anybody's seen the movie Syriana, the George Clooney, that character.
They couldn't find anybody as good-looking as Bob to play the character inspired by Bob.
Right. So, yeah, easy. Bob and I know that's not true. Anyway, so the point is that that Clooney character is Bob. And you spent a lot of time in that part of the world and trying to figure out Hamas, Hezbollah, the formation of Al-Qaeda and all the different organizations and how the governments and how the state actors all played into this. And Iran has been a malign actor. There's no question about it. But are they now, because of the pressure that's been put on them by these sanctions and the fact that we pulled out of the agreement with them and all of that, are they now sort of free to be rogue?
Oh, I think they're spoiling for a fight. They didn't have to take that tanker last Friday. I mean, that's just, you know, that was unnecessary. And I think what they're telling us is, you know, we're ready to go.
Where can they go
on this?
Where can they go?
Well,
what does that mean?
Well, they can do a lot of damage. They can close down the Strait of Hormuz. No question about that, with rockets, helicopters, fast boats. They can swarm our fleet, swarm tankers. They could do a lot of damage. They could take 20% of the world's oil consumption off the market in minutes. You know, you hit a couple tankers with a rocket, they lose their insurance. They won't be going into the Gulf. So that's 20% of the world's oil gone.
Right.
Daily oil consumption. They've also got an enormous amount of rockets in Lebanon and Syria. They could draw Israel into a major war. And then they've got Iraq. I mean, most of the leadership there, the Shia, are beholden to Iran. So you've got that whole Levant. You look at the map, and that pretty well, so they've got Saudi Arabia surrounded, if you include Yemen. They could make life miserable for us. And I think this president understands they could and really does not want a war. I mean, if the outcome of a war is not going to be like invading Iraq in 2003. We just don't know which way it would go. And he certainly doesn't want to, you know, send enough troops to really take out Iran. So he's in a tough spot. And I think he's probably at this point decided that it was a bad idea to put out, you know, get out of that 2015 nuclear accord.
Iran is not an easily invadable place, right? Because of its terrain. It's mountainous. It's rocky. Tehran is very, it's like Switzerland. It's described as, you know, why the Swiss always, you know, feel good about themselves? Because you can't invade them, right? It's almost impossible to get to them because of the mountains. The same thing can be said of Iran. Now, you could, from the air, you could bomb them, right? You could certainly, you know, we use a nuclear option or some sort of other mass casualty sort of weapon. But I don't know. I don't, you know, where does that raise the stakes, and who else is going to get behind them? And it seems interesting that Israel and Saudi have teamed up. You know, these are blood enemies, right? That have teamed up because they're trying to triangulate against Iran. How effective is that?
Well, Israel can do nothing against Iran. It could take on Iranian proxies in Lebanon, Hezbollah. But it would be like 2006. It would get fought to a standstill. And in the meantime, they do a lot of damage. But Bibi Netanyahu and Mohammed bin Salman, the de facto leader of Saudi Arabia, would like to get the United States in a match with Iran simply to, you know, take it down a couple notches. But using our military, because the Saudis don't have a military to speak of. And as for Israel, it can't send its military. There's no way to get its military to Iran, so that leaves the United States. And John Bolton, the national security advisor, looks at Iran as, you know, the main enemy, and now is the time to get rid of it. And you got this president saying, "Now, wait a minute. You know, what's it going to take to stop the Iranians from closing the Strait of Hormuz?" And we simply don't have the forces in the Middle East to do it right now.
Well, Bob, I feel sometimes like John Bolton's the guy in the bar who's broken the chair in half and is just looking for someone to hit with it.
Whatever target, right?
I mean,
well, he wants Trump out front. And I think that, you know, he understands that the Middle East is sort of hopeless. The whole thing is. I mean, I understand it because I spent my whole life there. But if you asked me to come up with a solution, how to fix things, I couldn't, because it's not fixable.
I want to play something for you too, Bob, that the president said about Afghanistan today.
I think Pakistan's going to help us out to extricate ourselves. We're like policemen. We're not fighting a war. If we wanted to fight a war in Afghanistan and win it, I could win that war in a week. I just don't want to kill 10 million people. Does that make sense to you? I don't want to kill 10 million people. I have plans on Afghanistan that if I wanted to win that war, Afghanistan would be wiped off the face of the earth. It would be gone. It would be over in 10 days. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to go that route.
What is he saying there?
Well, you know, it's funny because I've almost said the same thing. I last people to actually defeat the Afghans, so they never came back, were the Mongols, and they killed them all. They went in there and just killed everybody. That was a long time ago, of course. But this war is not winnable, and he knows it. He sits down with the generals. And here I am supporting Trump, but anyhow, when he's right, he's right. He says, well, how do we win this war? Well, we can put a couple more thousand troops in, and we give us 5 more years, and, you know, we'll build a state. Well, we haven't built a state since October 2001. We haven't even gotten close.
Essentially 2 decades. So
he dislikes the generals because they're saying, well, you know, if we had just a couple more helicopters and the rest of it, and he's heard it over and over again. And as I understand, he's told them, you guys get me out of there. I'm out. You're the last commander. And I want out. And if it's the Pakistanis that have, you know, I'll pay them, I want out. And, you know, when he's right, he's right. Let's get out of there. And if they let Al Qaeda in or somebody back in, that's what we have B-2 bombers for. Close the roads.
Bob, we got to be careful about mentioning the Mongols because Trump might ask if that Genghis Khan is still available. If he's still very great. A lot of people don't know about him.
Where's Genghis Khan when we need him?
Yeah. Well, all right. So if we would be able to maintain, we could just pull out of there and then pay the Pakistanis to watch the borders, essentially, at least the eastern borders of Afghanistan, and then. And then it would be on the Russians, basically, the northern borders, right? Because that's all those states that the Russians are either fiat states or states. So
it's not our problem.
Right. And that was their problem. And we couldn't get, and again, I mean, everybody has learned this. You know, the British learned it over 100 years ago. The Russians learned it. We learned it. It's just the Hindu Kush, as they call it, is just an impossible place to win. Because, again, for the same reasons that we're talking about tactically on the ground, if you're going to win a war on the ground, which you have to do at some point, you got to win the ground, it's just not doable. And you do, at this point, we'd have to keep a really good intelligence service. And as you know this, as a CIA officer, you understand, former CIA officer, you understand the first person killed in Afghanistan was a CIA officer. It was not a Navy SEAL.
Mike Spann. Yeah, exactly.
And the CIA has been there and been trying to work there, you know, well before we got engaged there. We knew about bin Laden being there because of the work of the CIA. And the crazy piece of this is that there is really no upside to it. And if there's another group that wants to form, then they could form anywhere in the world, right? If you're talking about a small, you know, one-off band of terrorists who are going to be well-funded. And let us also not forget, when we talk about al-Qaeda, before people get all high and mighty about how great Mohammed bin Salman is and the Israeli organizations that are trying to get together with him, let us not forget that al-Qaeda was formed primarily by Saudis. Bin Laden was a Saudi. Most of the leadership was Saudi or had Saudi ties, and it was Saudi Wahhabi's money that was behind it. And Afghanistan was just a place for them to go train. It had nothing to do with the Afghani government because they didn't have one. So it this is, I agree with you when the president is right. I think the president is right. It is probably time to get out. And I don't know what we do with the Pakistanis, but they were the ones hiding Bin Laden. So I don't know how much we can trust them.
There. Come on. I mean, you know, he's in a military garrison town.
Yes.
And there are people I trust say the Saudis knew that he was there as well. They didn't want him home, but on the other hand, they didn't want to sacrifice him
because
of his internal support. And that was a Saudi movement, and they have never come clean on 9/11. That they've continued to cover up exactly what happened, how those 15 Saudis got on the airplanes. They won't tell us. But they are not our friends. The Iranians aren't our friends, and the Afghans aren't. And it's beyond the American empire, as it is, to control that part of the world.
So, let me just take it back to Iran for a second, without spoiling for a fight. Do you think, where do you think this goes? I mean, does James Bond get involved, or the British? The British are all screwed up now anyway, right? Because they can't figure out exactly what to do. They're having sort of the same problem we are. They're not very expeditionary, because they can't figure out if they even want to be involved with the rest of the world.
Well, they are in a meltdown today. Now that Trump and Pompeo have said, "Hey, we're not going to protect the Gulf. That's not our job anymore." I mean, we did take over Gulf security in 1971 when the Brits left. Now we're saying it's not our problem. I mean, Trump has been saying this since 1987 when he came back from Russia. He said, "You know, why should we pay to secure Europe and Japan's oil supplies?" I mean, he truly believes this, and they've said this now. So the problem is, if you get in a free for all in the Gulf, even if a British force went in, they couldn't do enough.
Isn't it interesting? I think you did not say that accidentally. When the president returned in the 80s from Russia for the first time, he said
He said that he put a letter in three newspapers, saying, you know, this is NATO, the rest of it, our foreign obligations are too expensive, let's get out of them.
So when you come back from Russia, because the Russians are saying that, because the Russians are the answer to feeding the European oil needs, if the Middle East gets cut off, Russia wins.
Exactly, they win. The best thing that could happen to Russia right now, because it's economically in trouble, is if the Iranians and the Saudis, their oil were taken out, the Gulf oil. Because they would be the oil supplier of the world.
Right. So we just got to stop and think that this may have been going on. The Russia file thing that goes on between the president and Putin, and you know the love that he has and the respect he has for all of that. You know, it's long understood, and it seems that this administration does tilt every time toward something that will advantage the Russians.
Oh, I mean, he likes Putin. He likes the idea of the Russian Empire, and you know why he fell in love with Russia, and an ex-KGB agent. You can't explain it. There is no smoking gun, and that's the problem Mueller had.
Yeah.
You know, on the other hand, he may truly believe this.
Yeah.
Let the Europeans go. He may hate them. Let them lose their oil supplies in the Japanese.
Yes, well, he does like the Eastern Europeans. We know he's married two of them, so we know he likes that. He likes that whole thing. All right, I appreciate your time always, Bob. Sometimes I walk away from the. You know, it's funny. I was with a guy yesterday. I was talking to who used to have some business with your former employers. And I mentioned your name, and he was, you know, well aware of you. And it was it was an interesting conversation about what a lot of people who used to be with the company, as they call it, have left, and now they're doing. They're in private security, and they're in analysis of things. And some of them are in the banking world. And it's really, you know, what you guys have done, and what you guys know, and what you have done to secure the United States of America is amazing. And I just really hope that this administration makes a little bit of a turn, and whatever next administration comes in is as respectful of the job that you guys have done and what you do, and make sure that you guys are protected in what you do, because if it were not for you, we'd be completely effed.
Well, we pride ourselves in living in a world of fact. There's nothing we despise more than White House politics, congressional politics, and the rest of it.
Yeah,
and that's the advantage you have. So like, I'm telling you what's going on. You make up your mind what you want to do. And that's sort of the ethos of the CIA.
Yeah, totally understood. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time. Bob Barrett.
Thanks.
All right, there he goes.
Bye.
All right. I never feel better after talking to him.
The Buttigieg administration's right around the corner. It may help you feel.
Although he was an intelligence officer, so my guess is that that wouldn't be the worst thing for the CIA. All right, let's talk about the news coming up at the top of the hour. What do you got coming up for us?
Rowe University of Chicago nurses are outside the hospital today. We'll explain.